grace and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God, Lord of eternity,
dwells in humanity,
kneels in humility, and washes. Majesty, bow down and worship, for this is your God, this is your God. Father's pure radiance, perfect in innocence, yet learns obedience to death on a cross, suffering to give us life, conquering through sacrifice, and as they crucify, praise Father, forgive. Oh, what a mystery, meekness and majesty, bow down and worship, for this is your God, this is your God. Wisdom unsearchable, God the invisible, love indestructible, in frailty appears. Lord of infinity, stooping so tenderly, lifts our humanity to the heights of his throne. Oh, what a mystery, meekness and majesty, bow down and worship, for this is your God, this is your God, this is your God.
Let's come together in prayer. Gracious God, you are indeed our God. Our service this morning is the second Sunday of Easter, still early in the Easter season. We come to you in love because you first loved us. We come to you in grace because you showed us the way of grace. We come to you in truth because your way is always true. We come before you still enveloped in our refreshed gratitude that you would give your life in our name and rise again because you deem us worth it. We come before you refreshed by the message of salvation, repent and believe. We come before you because we recognize that need to confess our sins and to repent. We do so in love and in the assurance of your promise. The horrors of the crucifixion are mercifully now behind us for this year, although they always hang over our faith. The joy of your resurrection is fresh in our faithful lives. The warm sense of celebration from last Sunday continues to envelop us as we gather together in this beloved sanctuary once more. We rejoice that death has been conquered. The gift of Jesus Christ was the most remarkable response to our human sinfulness. We don't really understand it, we certainly didn't deserve it, and yet, through repentance, the gift is there for our receiving. Be with us this last Sunday, therefore, in April. In our praise, be with us as we pray together. Be with us as we reflect on your word. And be with us later as we share communion with you and with each other. And afterwards, as we share fellowship together. We think of our brothers and sisters in the Roman Catholic Church whose Pope Francis died earlier this week and whose funeral was yesterday. A man who lived his faith by humility, in humanity, and in love. Bring those brothers and sisters comfort in their loss. Today we will reflect on the locked room and our need to get out of our own locked room, our need to let the Holy Spirit rule our lives, and thereby our need to be your ambassadors this and every day. Forever remind us of the consequences of your death and resurrection, which is why we share communion, marking as we did the Last Supper just 10 days ago. And as we ask you to do every week, receive our thanks for the offering received, howsoever paid. We commend this offering and bless it to your holy name and for your church's use. Drive our continuing generosity, Heavenly Father, in our money, our time, and our talents this and every week. And as we've discussed, we understand that instruction, repent and believe. Help us with our personal confession. Aid us in our need to repent our wrongdoing. Stimulate our ongoing belief. And forgive us once more as you so readily do. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, some of you are thinking he's forgotten the Lord's Prayer. I haven't. It's coming later. So my introduction is our gift from Jesus. During Lent, I was doing my own reflective study, and I was using this little book called A Notion of Grace by Tim Chester. Tim regularly uses other people's writing to expand his own theme for the day. And on the Wednesday of the third week of Lent, which was the Wednesday, the 26th of March, it struck a chord with me because it was my late parents' wedding anniversary, Tim used some writing by a man called Gregory of Nazianzus, who lived from late 3rd century until about 374 AD, by which time he was in great age. And Gregory was a great writer on the subject of the Trinity of God and on the Holy Spirit. He was introduced to his faith by his wife Nonna in 325 AD, by which point he was well into his life. And all that writing about the Holy Spirit and the role of his wife in bringing him to faith fits well with my tune and my theme today. But for now, and in some respects independent of that, I wanted you to hear some quite lovely writing by Gregory. This, remember, was written 1700 years ago on the subject of Christ and Easter. Maybe it's a prayer. He does write the word prayer in it, or pray in it. Maybe it's a letter to God. Maybe it's just a note in his journal. Who knows? I simply invite you to read with me and to listen. It's full of lovely language. Eternal Lord, we offer to Christ who suffered and rose again for us, not mere gold or silver or costly stones. We offer ourselves, the possession most precious to him and most fitting for him. We give back to the image what is made after the image. We recognize him as our dignity. We honor him as our archetype. We want to know the power of the mystery. Let us become like Christ, since Christ became like us. Let us become yours for his sake, since he became man for our sake. He assumed the worst that he might give us the best. He became poor that we, through his poverty, might be rich. He took upon himself the form of a servant that we might receive back our liberty. He came down that we might be exalted. He was tempted that we might conquer. He was dishonored that he might glorify us. He died that he might save us. He ascended that he might draw us to himself, who have been brought low by our fall into sin. Help us, we pray, to give all to him, offer all to him, who for us gave himself as a ransom and a reconciliation. Gregory here so eloquently makes clear that our gift from Jesus is quite simply all of Jesus. Amen. And with that thought of ascending, let's sing hymn 477, Lo, He Comes with Cloud Ascending. And after that, Stuart will read for us.
Thank you. wounds of cross and passion, still his glorious body.
From John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Jesus appears to Thomas. Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen.
Thank you, Stuart. The reason it says at the very end there, the purpose of the gospel, is that this passage comes very near the end of John's gospel. The only chapter after that is called the epilogue, and it's littered with points to chew over. But I want to try and pick up three themes. The first is Thomas-like doubt by all the males and a sense of hiding from the truth. Secondly, the crunch point for all of us. and thirdly, the consequences of Thomas's doubt for us. So picking up the first of these, the first 18 verses of chapter 20, just before the bit that Stuart read for us, we hear of Mary Magdalene's encounter in the garden the morning of the resurrection. She was first to come upon the stone rolled away and the empty tomb, and she shared this news with Peter and John, who then saw the same thing for themselves. And then there's an odd little verse about Peter and John, verse 10, then they went home. John the evangelist clearly wanted us to know that Peter and he just went home. But Mary Magdalene did not go home. She stayed in the garden, and she first met two white-robed angels, but then she met Jesus himself, who she initially confused as a gardener. And he said to her, you remember these words, don't cling to me, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go and find my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. And in verse 18, we're told that Mary did find the disciples, and she told them that she'd seen Jesus and gave them Jesus' message. And this news generally should not have been a shock to the male apostles, even if resurrection's an uncommon thing, because Jesus had promised them that they would see him again. And in other Gospels, he specifically said that he would be raised on the third day. But coming to today's lectionary reading, in the first verse we heard, verse 19, we find that the disciples are locked in a house, cowering for fear of the Jews. And I was hoping in this image you might get a picture of that. Today in North Korea or Somalia or Libya or some other places, you are quite likely to be killed for your Christianity. Then it was much the same in Israel. So this fear in the locked room was to a degree understandable. And who are we to criticize it? But Jesus was a man who clearly celebrated and appreciated the female role in life. The Gospels are sprinkled with women who really mattered. Mary, his mother, and Mary Magdalene, Elizabeth, mother of John the Baptist, the woman who bled, the woman caught in adultery, the Samaritan woman at the well, Martha and Mary, Jairus' daughter, the unmarried woman at the foot of the cross, the widow and her mite, the list goes on and on. And in that context, we hear that it was Mary Magdalene who was spreading the good news of the resurrection. And similarly, as I mentioned earlier, it was Nona who brought faith to Gregory of Nazianzus. But here we see the male apostles hiding in fear in a room, notwithstanding the extraordinary news that Mary had just told them. It was Thomas who got the moniker Doubting Thomas, but this passage rather suggests that all the male apostles were doubting what Mary had said, or maybe to give them their due that they were just worrying about what to do next. But John is very clear that they were in a state of fear of the Jews. Does this mean that they were ashamed of Jesus' truth? Or were they just scared of reprisals? In Luke 9, Jesus said he'd be raised from the dead, and he warned them about shame. Verse 26, he says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in glory. And this is where I think this part of the account bumps into us. In these oh-so-secular days where the good news of Christ and his incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection at this time of year is swapped out for chocolate, cream eggs, and Easter bunnies even on the balcony of the White House, is there any risk that we too have emotionally locked our doors? Do we ever perhaps share the good news mainly amongst ourselves, our fellow believers? But mission bias outside the familiar group is more difficult because of fear of ridicule or even shame. Do we prefer to keep ourselves in a familiar locked room? Well, I truly hope not, and I do believe that you as a church are very strong in your outward focus. I've been impressed by it these 7 months. But taking Easter morning worship into the park and trying to wake people up with our singing is one way out of the locked room. But we need always to be aware of the locked door, the syndrome, in these secular times, where ridicule or shame can be the price of our faith. In Scotland, we don't face persecution for our belief, but think of our brothers and sisters in those countries I mentioned. But we must remember that ridicule is nothing at all. Indeed, it might even be a compliment. Remember, Jesus in Matthew 5 said we were blessed when we are ridiculed or persecuted in his name. So my second point, the crunch point. Maybe verse 22 in today's reading is the real crunch point. It reads like this: when Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Just before that, he'd settled them with, "Peace be with you." This image of God breathing on his followers is intimate. Except with our own intimate partners, we don't usually deliberately breathe on other people. And especially since 2020, it's been seen as rather unwelcome. But Jesus breathing on us and promising us the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the breath of God, is wholesome and delightful. He's our intimate friend. We sometimes sing this concept of God's breath in a 19th century hymn. It speaks of the concept beautifully. So I thought we'd interrupt this sermon by singing it. It's 596. It's reflective, so I ask you all just to stay seated. This lot will probably stand. So breathe on us, breath of God. So this verse 22, when Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus promised us that for all time the Holy Spirit would guide us. I told you a few weeks ago in mid-March that I would not be with you because I was taking a service in Balmerino as part of a process to bring three congregations together towards union. And it's a context where there are any number of human tensions. Grief about things to be lost, anxiety about being taken over and losing identity, grief about how things might change or maybe just the fear of change, the feeling of horrible uncertainty when the ground we know so well seems to move. Well, let me assure you that the Holy Spirit was working overtime that morning. Harmony was the principal outcome, the prevailing mood in and outside the sanctuary. As I did here a few weeks ago, we close with the Aaronic blessing, "The Lord bless you and keep you," spoken and then sung. And as people sang it to each other, you could see on their faces that they really meant it. When we went for coffee afterwards, there were far too many people for the available seats. The noise in the place was amazing. When Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So finally, the consequences of Thomas's doubt for all of us. Jesus' words in verse 29 read like this: "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." These are words which could prompt us to some sort of self-congratulation, some pride in our faithful state, maybe even some pleasure at our strong faith. We are not this doubting Thomas. Shame on him. We have not seen, but we believe, don't we? But we really mustn't get too proud about this. One of our very common idioms is seeing is believing. We relish the whole concept of eyewitness testimony. Sometimes we even say that people who believe without seeing things are fools. And the concept of seeing is believing does go back to the Gospels. Even before doubting Thomas, even before Jesus died, the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law at the foot of the cross are recorded as having said this: "Let this Messiah, let this King of Israel, come down from the cross so we can see it and believe him." We humans are too easily skeptical about things until we see them for ourselves. So we shouldn't be snooty about Thomas. What Thomas said then is what we would almost certainly have done if we'd been him. "Show me Jesus. Show me your wounds. Seeing is believing. Or bring me an eyewitness at least." 2,000 years later, we right here have to believe without seeing. But when we think about it, our faith is actually made easier by Thomas's doubt. Thomas asked the question we might have asked, and he was so impressed that he said, "My Lord and my God." Thomas knew Jesus well. We can now believe because Thomas saw and believed. He was our eyewitness. So how do these three thoughts draw together in 2025? The consequence of Thomas's doubt is that we can believe because he did the seeing and the believing for us. He is the eyewitness testimony. As a consequence, we have become that group, blessed because we have not seen and yet we have believed. We're also able to believe because Jesus breathed his Holy Spirit on us. His promise, his gift of abiding in us, will open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds to his good news. In a few minutes, he's going to breathe his Holy Spirit on us once again when we share communion. Breathe on us, breath of God. With this belief, this divine breath, and this abiding, we have no scope for hiding in a locked room. The truth will find us out. That truth is, just as Gregory of Nazianzus has set it out, Jesus' gift to us was all of Jesus. Jesus promised that if in fact we are ridiculed or persecuted for our belief in him, as a result of that gift, then we're blessed. So this Easter season just started, we have endless scope for finding our way out of any locked room. Indeed, we have really no need to be there in the first place. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Celia is now going to lead us in prayer, and then Tim, Reverend Tim, will take over for communion. Celia.
Our prayer for others this 27th of April. We pray for the Roman Catholic Church as it mourns the death of Pope Francis and begins the process of electing his successor. We pray that the new Pope will have the gifts that they will need to lead the Catholic community throughout the world in an outward-looking, forward-thinking way, sustaining both the faithful and the world we all share. Easter this year was celebrated last Sunday not just by all those Christians in the Western branches of the Church, but also by the Orthodox community too. We pray for all those who work hard to build bridges and links between the different strands of the Christian faith, breaking down barriers and building understanding, and allowing the different traditions to learn from and benefit each other. We pray also for the work that goes on between faiths to foster understanding, tolerance, and mutual respect and appreciation. Start the Week on BBC Radio 4 last Monday highlighted two new books. The first, by Bijan Omrani, entitled God is an Englishman, considers the profound impact Christianity has had on the UK and what might be lost if Christianity were to lose its hold here. We pray for all those who consciously foster Christian values in social, cultural, and legal settings across the UK. This includes, for example, CVE Scotland, which is a small charity providing material training and support for Scottish schools and their populations. It aims to ensure that young folk are exposed to Christian values in a meaningful way. The second book, written in the programme, written by Lamorna Ash, recounts stories of young people who are finding Christian faith in Britain now. A wide spectrum of churches attracts them, as well as evangelical festivals and monastic retreats. The book, published next month, is called Don't Forget We're Here Forever. We pray that all our young people, especially those finding faith, will be given the support that they need to both let their faith grow and nurture and share it with the people, other people they encounter. From within our own church community here at Dundee Law, we're told of many examples of people moving out into the wider world, grounded in and strengthened by their faith, just as the disciples did following Jesus' instructions and after his resurrection. We pray for the work of Embrace the Middle East, including on their website, its Hope in Hard Places podcast, and the stories of extraordinary mothers that it shares there, as well as all the various projects it continues to pursue despite all the difficulties encountered in that war-torn, volatile region. We pray for all those working in regions of conflict or disaster who are able to bring even glimmers of hope to those with whom they live and work, irrespective of race, gender, or religion. The work of the Vine Trust, of the Mercy Ships of Africa, of EMI volunteers in Uganda, and the staff at Bach Hospital in Pakistan are further examples of the power of Christian faith in action. We pray for their continuing work and safety. Back home at our Steeple Centre, we continue to pray for the ongoing work of the nominating committee as it works hard to find appropriate people to become ministers at Dundee Law Parish. We pray for the guidance and wisdom we will all need as our church, like many others, adapts and changes to meet the needs of our challenging world. In the coming week, we pray that there will be opportunities to escape from our own rooms, to encounter people, places and situations that allow our faith to grow and to benefit those around us, our city, our country, and our world. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Celia, for leading us in prayer, and thank you, John, for your word this morning. As we prepare to come to the Lord's table, we recognize what Jesus Christ has done for each of us, that we can come to his table forgiven, renewed. So let us join in praise with words that reflect this, singing how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure.
Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one
bring many
sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there. Me life, I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from all of this? I cannot give an answer, but this I know.
We gather now as one body, joined around the table, the joyful celebration of the people of God. Here we celebrate God's presence among us, united in Christ, broken and whole all at once. Nourished and hungry, loved and loving, we make one circle of knowing, believing, rejoicing, being as God in Christ rests among us. All who love our Lord Jesus Christ are invited to eat the bread of life, to drink the cup of the new covenant. For Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. May God's grace reach out to each and every heart. Our worship is the offering of the whole of our lives, and our relationship to God with our Lord Jesus Christ cannot be confined to one compartment of our lives. However, this time of coming together is important if we are to offer the service of our lives. May this special time sustain and deepen the constant relationship we have, and that we may be nourished and strengthened for service. In coming to communion, we have heard God's word, his call to each and every one of us. As the Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, I take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart to this holy use and mystery. And as he gave thanks and blessing, let us draw near to God and offer him our prayers and thanksgiving. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, for you are our Lord and Creator. There is none like you. You are almighty and all-powerful. We thank you that you love and care so much for humankind, that you came in flesh and lived among us. We thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you offered yourself as a sacrifice, standing in our place, so that we can stand before you with clean hearts and clean hands. And we thank you, Lord, that you rose again and that your love is so strong that you still walk among us by your Holy Spirit. Therefore, with all your people and with the whole company of heaven, we praise you in the angels' hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So, Lord, we come to your table to share in a celebration of your love, grateful to be counted as your people, your children, ready and willing to tell of how you live, died and rose again, so that we can live our lives close to you. We ask you to join us today, taking your rightful place at the head of this table, King and head of this church. Father, please send your Holy Spirit to move in power upon these elements and among us, your people, that we may know the presence of the Most High God. Lord, we ask you to accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, and as we come and offer ourselves, help us to put aside all differences, all of our trials and tribulations, that as we focus on you, everything else will fade away. We ask these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We come as an act of obedience, following Christ's example and commandment. On the night of betrayal, he took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it. And he said, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant, sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink this, do this in memory of me. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, and his blood, which was shed for you, and feed on him in your hearts with faith and with thanksgiving. The gifts of God for the people of God. And if you're visiting, please wait to take the bread and wine until we have all received. Thank you. take, eat, for this is the body of Christ which is broken for you. Do this, remembering him. This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed by Christ's blood. Drink from it. Do this, remembering him. As we read in Psalm 85, I am listening to what God the Lord is saying. He promises peace to us, his own people. And as Jesus said to his disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The peace of Christ, which is above all peace, be always with you. Let us take a moment to share and greet each other with the peace of Christ. Let us pray. Father, we give you glory, thanks and praise for the dying and undying love of our Lord Jesus Christ. In your great goodness, you have brought us into relationship with him. You have brought us into that great place of intimacy. By your grace, may we continue to live close to you, and may we always give you and bring you glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Saviour. Amen. Having come to communion through grace, we affirm Christ's righteous reign, our risen Saviour, enthroned on high, our King of glory and grace. Let us sing, before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea.
When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within. Upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because a sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect, spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased with his blood, my life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God.
Our souls and bodies have been fed by the word and the bread of life. Go from this place with open eyes, open hands, open hearts. Go with joy and gladness, renewed in Christ. Go and serve in his name with love and compassion. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each one of us, now and always. Amen.